draw with iPod touches, HP mini netbooks, and more to be won. Terms apply.
Don't touch that frequency, because this is Face Off with Anita Kapoor, the talk show with insight and bite. Coming at you 100% live from the 938 Live studio. We're all about savvy subjects, fresh opinions, and new perspectives. As I come face to face with amazing people and ideas that are audacious, spirited, and downright cool. In the hot seats today, we have Effendi Ibrahim, the newly anointed artistic director of the Substation Singapore, a performer, a theatre director, an award winner, a real all-round. Effendi, on his new role in taking the home of indie arts into adulthood, and also the writer-director duo behind Guru Shetram, 24 Hours of Anger, award-winning writer-director and executive producer Titi Davamani, and writer Chongse Chien. They together have produced, written, and directed Singapore's first full-length Tamil feature film, which premieres tonight. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi. I am going to start with Guru Shetram, because you guys just received a review. That was a bit of a non-review, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd you feel about that one?
Devamani. What do you feel about that one, honestly?
I don't know. When I read the review, I think somebody within an article here, I felt very hurt initially. Mm-hmm. And the day it came out, it happened to be my father's death anniversary.
Well,
Double trouble. I was reading it in my car, and for the first time in my life, I find the other side of me, you know. As much as I has grown as an artist, I thought, I've not really grown, you know. I couldn't take that criticism, you know. There were tears rolling down my cheek, and I was very angry. And thank God I was inside my car.
Well, thank God you were in your car. Now, obviously, this was a really personal project then for you.
It is. You see, it's a childhood dream, you know. You ask my mother, and she'll tell me that I've been telling from 7 years old that I want to make a movie. And she still tells that to all my friends, you know. And she cried when she was in the preview. And imagine, you know, you spend all your savings.
Yeah.
And that is like a cool $500,000.
Mm.
And then I told my mom the rest of my life I'm going to live with her because I can't afford an HDB. And you'll imagine why,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you speak with a lot of passion, and really today's show is about creativity in Singapore on a very broad spectrum. It's a forever subject, you know, it's up there with the housing woes, public transport, freedom of speech, everything else. And the trouble with it all, in my very humble opinion, is that these days, even rubbish really actually gets an airing. There is really little critical value that gets noticed. And passion like you have, and creativity like we all have shared, it kind of seems double talk for cheap and good. Now, art and filmmaking are two seemingly very complex areas of creativity and funding in Singapore. Effendi, I want to ask you, your particular challenge at this point is a fantastic challenge, and one that I'm really happy to find you in that hot seat. You're the new artistic director of the Substation, which has such a depth of history. Now, really, tell me, how do you keep that independent spirit, take it into adulthood, and really, what about Koh Pao Kun's vision?
Well, I mean, one of the things which I keep getting from my ongoing discussions with a lot of the artists and members of the community is that it has to be still a home for the arts. But I think the challenge now is, how do we redefine that home?
Mm.
You know, because I think it's not just a space where you attend or engage an event, but it should be in the spirit of the early 90s, where I was there in the early 90s, and some of us were there in the early
90s. Actually, this is the interesting thing that everyone listening in should know, because I only figured it out like a couple of days ago. All three of you are actually, in some way, you've had some sort of rite of passage through the Substation.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would say a vast majority of independent artists and filmmakers have had a rite of passage through the Substation.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, in that spirit, it's yes, our challenge now is basically to bring people back.
Mm.
Not bring people back to attend, to watch as an audience, but primarily as visitors and as not tenants, but just basically to live, to breathe in the space.
So you're trying to recreate a community.
Well, the community is there.
Mm.
It's reminding the community that the home is is still there. Mm. But the challenge now is today's context is different. Mm. It's not just a home to just linger and, you know, mingle and share, but it's also an issue of sustainability.
Mm.
How do we sustain, how do you sustain ideas? How do you sustain presence? How do you sustain engagement and sharing? You see, and that sustainability also, there has to be a degree of making it commodifiable, you know, not to the extent of going commercial or what, but it's just the reality of survival, of continuity. Because I mean let's be frank, making art cost is really expensive.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Film is definitely one of them, and film is also one of our main core programs at the substation.
Yeah.
So that is our biggest challenge now. How do you make a community sustainable and able to develop and evolve?
Lots of things to think about there. Now, I want to address this question to my filmmaking duo here. You know, Chinese and Malay filmmaking in the 50s and 60s really flourished. And, of course, in the 90s, then suddenly we had a real flourish of English language filmmaking. But yet, again and again, there never ever seemed to be a presence of Indian filmmaking in Southeast Asia. In South Asia, of course, you've got your Bollywood, Tollywood, Collywood, but Southeast Asian filmmaking. You guys do realize that you're making history.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I think, going back to jumping on what you said about the review being a non-review, I was angry for a different reason, because the review wasn't talking much about the film, but it was talking about, basically the entire argument was that it has limited appeal because it's an Indian film, locally produced, so why should people pay to see a locally produced film, as opposed to watching something which is produced in India? And for me, the argument is so flawed.
Yes.
And it goes back to the respect for Singaporean-produced works, a respect for Singaporean artists, and I think it goes back to what Substation is essentially all about, which is to champion the local voices in the arts community, film, theatre, visual arts.
Yeah.
And I think it's really about that. And in the 90s, we were very much about that, creating local works, which we are all proud of. Now, that was S11, which is where we hang out.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys about S11.
Yeah.
But what happened then in the last, you know, well, if you say the 90s, we're talking about the last almost 20 years in that sense. What's actually been going on that has taken people away from that sort of independent spirit? And why has it become so overtly commercial?
I think art has become an industry, or wants to become an industry. I mean, that's one of the national agenda, isn't it? Right. So I think the challenge now is to resist that, you know, to resist that. I mean, of course, it's not wrong for art to have an industrial component, but I think there has to be still that spirit of process of making mistakes, of failure.
Mm.
I think failure is still underrated and even reviled now in art making. You see, I think we need to bring that back.
Well, we're going to come back and talk about making independent films, making independent arts. We're just going to go away for some traffic news. We'll be right back here on 938 Live.
And now, well-known mattress technology, available exclusively at Courts.
938 Live.
And we're back. We're going to start talking about some of the other areas that I think actually feed a positive independent art scene. And what about critical writing? Essentially, I feel there's a real serious lack of this. And as you've said, you know, the review today, or rather yesterday, I think it was, wasn't really something that gave you much hope, because it felt as if the person reviewed it didn't really understand the larger projection of your film. What do you guys have to say about that? Critical writing in Singapore?
Well, critical writing, I mean, you just look at the reviewers who were there 10 years ago and the reviewers were here.
Mm.
The reviewers here who are reviewing films, theatre, they are less than 5 years in the job.
Mm.
And look at the practitioners who are still practicing art today. We've been there since the 80s.
Yeah.
So for me, it's strange when every 5 years or every 3 years, I get a new reviewer who is a fresh graduate, who knows nothing about the books I've done, who knows nothing about the scene. And there I'm trying to educate and inform her, okay, this is what has been happening. But from a practitioner point of view, it's almost disheartening, because we don't have someone who has been there with us since day one.
Now, I feel, though, that it doesn't really matter. You just have to do your homework, and you need to actually integrate with the artistic community and find out what people are doing. And that way you can write a great review.
Yeah.
So what do you think can be done, really, to change this entire sort of malaise, in that sense, that people have?
Okay. Gava. I'm going to deviate a bit away from your question to answer this. Yeah, I think as practitioners, I think the moment you feel you are truthful, you are honest, you are telling the story that you really want to tell, I think apart from that one tears I shed, I think I'm not going to worry about this, you see, because during my charity gala premiere, the president of this country was sitting next to me, and he told me he couldn't breathe for a minute because it was so engaging, you know, and ministers were there, my friends were there. So in a way, this review worked in my favor, because my folks are angry, my friends are angry, and they say they're going to energize and make sure this movie works for the rest of the country.
Make sure everybody watches it. Now, listen, honestly, guys, I mean, I think it's a really very compelling story, and it's a story that's reflecting a segment of Indian society in Singapore. It's a story that's never been told, but it is a story that is there. And I think you had a quote about the screen and the streets. Tell me that quote, because, you know, it gets me tongue-tied.
The street scripts the screen.
It does, and the screen scripts the streets in return, doesn't it? So tell me a little bit then about Gurukshetram, 24 Hours of Anger.
I think it was 3 years in the making. Really 3 years in the making. Because, Deva and I have gone a long way back since in the army. We met in the army, and then we got reacquainted again in S11.
Outside the substation.
Outside substation. Yeah. And that's where we updated each other what we were doing. I was still involved in theatre. He has moved on to television, and we've been working on his television dramas. And one of the script meetings, Devamani just said, I have all these files of all the police cases of delinquents, and he has all that entire stack, and just, Zichen, please read them. This is what is happening out there in the streets. And there's so many stories in there that we don't see anywhere else in the media, in the television. Why are we letting these stories sit in the cupboards?
Literally go to waste.
Yeah.
And I totally believe that in a country like Singapore, even one youth or the power of one youth is wasted. I think we have lost everything, because our country is so controlled, we are so small, and yet if we are going to face this kind of social problem and we choose to ignore that, I think we are really blind. Yeah.
I think it's telling a really big story, and I think this film actually has great legs, and it's going to travel very, very far, and you guys are going to be extremely happy when the world starts to see it and realize that it's not just about Singapore in that sense. It's not just about the Indian community. It is a big story. It's a story that I think will resonate everywhere. Now, I want to actually ask Findi, look, I mean, at the Life Theatre Awards recently, 2010, I was there, and I noticed that there was quite a big presence of Malay theatre, but very little presence of actually Indian theatre. But Indian theatre has been flourishing all on its own for a very long time. Now, you're the former director of Theatre Ekamatra. How is Theatre Ekamatra actually able to sort of forge that bond and sort of come away from just being seen as ethnic theatre and Malay language theatre? And I've been to many of your productions, and I found that the themes, the language didn't matter to me. It was the themes, and it was really what was going on in the story.
Yeah. I think one of the first few things was that we kind of stubbornly pushed for a Malay language that is universal, you know. So we're not talking about language, we're talking about memories and histories. And then, you know, we push it into the public space, you see, and we kind of force it there. And we also, at the same time, issue accessibility. How do we encourage non-Malay speaking audiences to come in? Is it so? We have to be more inclusive instead of exclusive. So the way we kind of reposition ourselves is that Malay theatre is not exclusive for the Malays. It is an inclusive space for everybody. It's only that it is spoken in Malay.
So therefore, Gurukshetram is not just a Tamil language film just for Tamil people. It's for everyone. Okay. We're going to come right back and talk about creativity and staying the course on Face Off with Anita Kapoor on 938 Live.
A Often we jump into our car, start the engine, and off we go. But do you know what's coming out of the tailpipe of your car? Carbon dioxide is the dominant greenhouse gas that causes global warming. Carbon monoxide when in...
News brought to you by ECICS Limited, your partner in bond and trade credit.
Back in the hot seat with at Face Off with Anita Kapoor. We were just talking about creativity in the arts. I want to ask Fendi, now, how is this actually going to be nurtured at the substation in this new era? Now, you have your artistic associate artist, is that, program?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of other things that go on around in the substation.
Yeah.
But really, that's the core of actually nurturing artists for the future.
Yeah.
So where does it all go from here now for you guys?
I think for the associate artists, it's going to be a more rigorous program. It's somewhat like a residency now, but it's now really specifically catered to process, to a longer term. It's going to be a 2-year process. We're going to partner the associate artists and their processes with communities to test their process, art processes, so that the work art itself is more relevant than just an aesthetic. So it has a community relevance, it has a social relevance. So the artist has to identify a community within maybe local as well as the region.
Okay.
So identify a community, let's say maybe a marginalized people or group, and test that particular proposal with that community for a period of 2 years. And see what are the pros and cons. So at the same time, you know, it's giving value, a much more real world value to art itself, to the idea of creativity. So it's not about imparting creativity or the idea of making within the community, but kind of it could be empowerment. It could be for the community to apply that new understanding, new perspective, and be able to sustain it, continue, and develop as how it deems in its own context.
Okay, so this is fairly complex, actually.
Yeah.
And you're in a position now where you are in the post, and we were talking about this earlier. We're talking a lot about PowCon.
Yeah.
And you're not PowCon.
Yes.
So what do you bring to your position?
What do I bring? That's a difficult question, though, because I think there's so much memory still attached to the substation, and PowCon is still in the hearts of many people, including myself. I did meet him for a few moments in the early 90s. But I think now here it's about reclaiming.
Yeah.
And I think that void needs to be reclaimed by the community, everybody. So it's not only the artists, but also the larger public.
Mm.
So the space, you know, is still a space for contemporary art.
Right.
But it's not only about art itself, but we are looking more at a practice.
Mm.
So it's the context of the practice. So the practice doesn't work in, it's not created in isolation.
Right.
But it is informed by the immediate environment that it exists within, that is the community, that is the public, that is social, political policies, the economy, political climate, and so on and so forth.
It's definitely, what you're saying is then that the substation is definitely going to be a more active arts space. So, I mean, I think for a while there, it rested a little bit on its laurels, you know, it rested on its fame as being the first and only independent arts enclave. And I think there was a while there where a lot of us felt like, what's going on? Why isn't it moving with the times?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think in terms of the time, it has now to not only re-recognize who its artists are, but what the community comprises now. You know, the makeup of the community now, we're becoming more cosmopolitan. You know, the makeup of the community is now much more
reflect the community for what it is, rather than what you might have thought it might have been in the last 10 years.
And one of the things which I think I really want to push for is cross-cultural, intercultural dialogue, and not only in art practice, but also the reverse, whereby the public, the communities come into a space and kind of dialogue as to how it sees itself responding to artists and practices itself.
Wow, exciting times at the substation. I'm coming back. I'll never not come back. And I think that's it. We were talking about love marks earlier, and I think the substation really has a space in everybody's heart, and everyone's really excited that you're there, and that let's see what the future is, and let's see what comes.
That's
you got a big task there, buddy. But you're the right guy for the job. Now, in terms of talking about creativity, you know, filmmaking is a long, laborious process. As you said, script is 2 years in the making, but I'm sure that this idea was probably sitting in Dava's head for a very, very, very long time, as you
say. 6 years, I think.
Six years. Yeah. And so that's your incubation period. And then it comes together, and really making a film, it's a sum of the parts. Who are the people that are involved? And apart from yourself, I know you have some great collaborations that you've been with these people for a very, very long time. Like, you can't make a great movie without a great cinematographer. You can't make a great movie without a great editor. Tell us a little bit, first of all, tell everybody a little bit about Guru Kshetram. In your own words, no reviews necessary. What is the movie actually about?
Okay, before I talk about the movie, I really want to talk about myself, yeah? It's not like I conceived something today and I did a movie the next day, yeah? I prepared myself for this task for enormous 30 years, you know? I practiced theater. I went to study theater. I learned the concept behind acting and the process of making actors, you know, perform truthfully.
Yes.
And that happened. And then I did theater sincerely. And then I moved into TV because I wanted to test myself against the visual medium.
Yeah.
And I've done 6 years of TV work. And I've been doing it in Tamil, but I've always been writing in English. Mm. And my final process has only been in Tamil. And, okay, New York festivals, Asian Television Awards nominations, numerous local awards. And then I told myself I'm ready for a film.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is your first feature film.
Yes, it is.
Ever. Congratulations.
And my DP is Lucas, and I've worked with him in television movies. He's from Belgium. He's a European cinematographer. He's done very good local movies like Eating Air, The Maid, and we have done a lot of TV work together.
Why did you choose him to work on this film with you?
Okay. Someone who I believe can translate my thinking into the visual medium.
Yep.
Someone who understands me, my community, my story, my actors. And I felt, you know, that understanding is what drives me to get him for the job. And my editor is Praveen KL. He has done a lot of TV movies with me. And now he's a big name in India, South India. He has done at least 6 blockbusters there. Yeah. And my writer is Suchen is here, and he's equally a popular. And he's Chinese.
And that shouldn't matter at all, really, Suchen. He's just telling a story.
Exactly.
And what made you the right person then to tell this story?
I think the friendship definitely came into the picture once. And then what happened was that, because Devamani knows his story very, very well. And as a script writer, it's always a privilege to work with someone who has something very clear and has this clear vision, and half the job is already done for me. And for that is a joy to work with, because he knows exactly what he wants.
We're going to come back and talk about knowing what you want, creativity and the arts and filmmaking on Face Off with Anita Kapoor.
And now, breaks. It features the same well-known mattress technology, available exclusively at Courts.
938 Live. 938 Live. Gets you talking.
We're continuing the conversation here on Face Off with Anita Kapoor. We were just talking about the unique collaboration between Suchen and Dava. Now, Suchen, you were saying that, you know, really it was about the fact that you guys have this shared history.
Yeah.
And you've kind of been talking about things for a very long time, haven't
That's right.
you? Yeah.
I think for me, essentially, what made this collaboration work for me was that Devamani understands characterization. He understands what it means to tell a story and using characters to tell a story. I've worked with several directors before, and a lot of times they're talking about technicalities like, oh, I'm going to do this and film this in that way, but they never talk about who these characters are.
Yeah.
And as a script writer, you know very well that it's characters which make the story come alive.
Absolutely. That's what compels people to watch the film. I mean, I think David Glass, the MD of Golden Village Pictures, I want to just say again what he said was that about creativity in film in Singapore in a recent article. He said, enormous depth of technical talent, but we need better stories and better told stories, compelling stories. He went on to say that if you don't believe what you see on the screen, you'll never go and watch a film.
That's right.
Now, where do these characters come from? Are these an amalgamation of people that you've known and situations that you've known throughout your lives? And of course, the files that you guys went through of all the delinquents in Singapore? Yeah.
I think Devamani showed me the files and we talked about it. We read the files and we realized that there's something universal about, because essentially we want to focus on two teenagers who are trying to protect themselves against everything else that's happening in their universe in Singapore.
Basically, Gurushetram is somewhat of a thriller, and it's about Prakash, 17-year-old boy who's living life on the edge and seeking some sort of shelter, and ends up going to stay with an uncle who runs a drug ring.
That's right.
That's the basis of the movie.
That's right. Yeah. And when he told me about that premise, immediately I was drawn to that relationship. That the conflicts were there, already there. And the very fact that we read so many case studies of how teenagers today who are trying to survive. A lot of times we think of Singapore being a very clinical society, there's no crime. But that's only because we don't read about it.
Yes, it just still exists. But it's perhaps on the fringes that we don't go to, and we don't see these things, and we don't travel around enough. Even though everywhere in Singapore is 20 minutes from the center of town, we don't see these things.
That's right.
Fendi, I just want to ask you a little bit about your personal journey, actually, with the substation. I think, you know, that's what makes you such a sort of the right person for the job. I mean, you've kind of been going to the substation as when you were out of art school, and then you've performed there, and I think it's been very much a part of your life. Tell me a little bit about that.
Basically, first thing is cost. It's the most affordable, it's the most friendliest space ever in Singapore to make work. Why it's friendliest, and to me that's really a key point, is that it allows experimentation. It allows for mistakes, especially. And I think mistakes is really important in process.
Yeah.
Here is mistake. It's not such that, you know, you just kind of doomed for failure, but it's a failure which is a result of that rigor in the process. See, so for me, that in itself has kind of helped me develop my own art vocabulary. Of course, I've worked at Esplanade, I've worked at Drama Center and the other venues, but I still keep coming back to Substation, personally.
Yeah.
Primarily because of that.
I think we all do, yeah.
Primarily because of that edginess, that risk.
That's
look,
right.
You come here to make mistakes, and we'll embrace you, we'll accept you. That's it.
My last question really is about S11, because I think that was a hotbed of artistic talent.
Yep.
And where does everybody meet now if there's no more S11?
Oh dear.
Where do we go room? For it?
I don't know.
Come back to Substation, please.
Come back to Substation.
Excellent. That's really fantastic. Guys, I want to thank you all for really being here. I think keep the faith. Take everything further. You know, Gurushetram premieres tonight, and it will run for how long at Golden Village Cinemas?
At least 2 weeks.
And they're a great supporter of independent film, aren't they, Golden Village?
They do. And it's a selected screening.
All right.
Golden Plaza thing, Tampines, Jurong Point, and Yushun. Yeah, do go and watch it. It's honest and truthful work. Yeah?
It definitely is. I've met the honest and truthful director and writer. And Fendi, Substation, where do we get more information?
You can visit online at substation.org. Yeah.
Well, that's it, people. Thank you guys for being here on the show. It's about time to bring in my favorite lady. Have we got Dawn Mock, writer and publisher, publishing partner of City Scoops, my absolutely most favorite independent hit-selling guide to Singapore's best urban experiences. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Anita.
Did you listen into the show?
I did. Very interesting, and I'm going to catch that movie.
You better go. Tonight, I think it's sold out, but for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be there. And then get yourself back to the substation.
I will.
What are our scoops for this week?
Right. This week, I have the aptly named 15 Minutes at La Salle. It's a hip cafe bar where fame comes in all creative forms, and their stage is yours for showing off your music, film, writing, art, or DJ skills. So check the website for audition details. Not far from here is actually Cinema Old School on Mount Sophia. They not only show local and indie movies, but, you know, aspiring filmmakers can also rent out their cozy theater as well. And you
Fantastic.
Can check their website for details.
That's great. And?
Next, we have Post Museum on Rowell Road. It's a favorite, actually. They focus on connecting creativity and art with social cultural issues. So, you know, real life. Lots of dynamic activities happening here. Just come with an open mind. Currently, they have an interactive exhibition going on called Resurrection Painting by Jeremy Hia. So, yeah, check that out. Do we have time for one more?
We certainly do.
Well, okay, then farm.sg, a great website for creative community. They have a Rojak project, and it's coming up, I think, next month, and they showcase exciting works from various local creative disciplines. Their website, farm.sg, lots of details there.
Awesome, Dawn. Thank you so much. Thank you to City Scoops.
Thank you.
See you next week. And for everybody that's listening in, Guys, get yourself back to the substation. And over the next 2 weeks, please go and watch Guru Shetram. Tell all of your friends. And next week on Face Off with Anita Kapoor, we'll be featuring the first ever Twitter documentary, ZRV, and much more. Catch you every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m., right here on 938 Live.
938 Live.